Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? Derek Evers, Chris Robbins. I hate saying your name. You should say your name.
Why do you dislike saying my name?
No, I like saying it. I'm just
say my name, Derek.
Say my name. Oh. So we're here with a very. It's warm and toasty in here because it is cold outside.
We have a lot of Canadians on the show recently. I feel right.
Well, always.
I mean, we have like a Canadian on every week at this point.
It's kind. Well, who else was it besides Soons?
Well, I mean, does Dirty Beaches not count as Canadian?
Oh, that's
anymore?
Right. Yeah, he was on here too. And it's all kind of Montreal lane. Anyway, the thing we're hinting at is that this week on Nothing Urgent, we're joined by Solids from Montreal. Actually, Xavier and Louis from Solids.
Hi.
Hey. How's it going?
And yeah, we have had a couple Montrealians.
Right?
How do you say that? Montrealians?
Montrealers.
Montrealers.
Oh.
Montrealers.
ERS.
All right.
That doesn't happen often in geography. Are you guys hockey fans?
Not really.
God.
You know, it's
thank
funny.
God.
We like to. I just like to, you know.
Are you ostracized because of that? Like, you, do you feel like the
kind,
other?
Kind of like, yeah, yeah. Like, some of my friends are like hardcore fans of like the Habs and stuff. But
yeah. For our American friends, that means the Canadians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Montreal Canadiens.
Habs.
I'm a huge hockey fan, but I always like to try to bring in sports because Chris hates sports.
But
so.
You know, but thank God, so do you.
Do you feel ostracized?
No, not at all. But New York,
no, not in Brooklyn, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, New York's too big to really. There's plenty of people who care, and there's plenty of people who don't.
Yeah.
But up there, I can imagine. You know, hockey's like sort of the national sport, right?
Yeah.
Sort
of. Well, yeah. In Montreal, it's not that bad. No. It's like kind of the same thing, but.
But there's a lot of them. There's a lot of hockey teams up in Canada. That's why. We won't talk about it. There's a lot of big movement today for my team. I'm a Sabres fan, so but we won't talk about it because no one knows what I'm talking about.
We will not talk about that. We will not.
I am.
I don't watch hockey often.
Well, it's only a recent development, them being horrible. But yeah. We're here talking with Solids. You guys have recently signed to Fat Possum. We were talking a little bit before the show that they just basically signed you off of what they heard on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Correct? Yeah, they heard like Blame Confusion that was like out in October, and now it's not anymore, and it's gonna be out in February 18th.
I feel very.
So you guys are like that Journey lead singer they just found on the internet, and they're like, we gotta get that guy. So Fat Possum was like, damn, we gotta sign this band.
Yeah. Don't stop believing.
Yeah. That's our motto.
We're having a technical issue. Can you hear him? Joe's coming in. You can talk, Joe. It's fine.
We're having an issue with the microphone.
We're having a slight. Louis has been talking this whole time, and you may not have heard him.
Yay.
Nope, still nothing. This is on the air troubleshooting right now.
Louis ghost.
So let's talk while we're waiting for the microphone to be fixed.
Let's talk shit about Louis now. He can't respond.
Yeah, he can't
say
anything.
I can speak louder.
What a loser.
Yo.
No.
Mics.
All right, you guys cool sharing mics?
All right.
I mean, you guys are a two-person band. That
yes,
kind of like
yeah,
fits
we're
out, fits
used
well.
To proximity.
Pretend it's like a maple leaf or something.
You guys are the 2 points of the five. There are 5 points in a maple leaf, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm a big fan of Montreal, though. I've been there a bunch of times, and like it's like known for hockey and maple syrup. So
maple syrup, seriously?
That's what they try to sell you at the tourist stop.
Yeah. We're
not tourists, so I don't know.
I like maple syrup.
You guys are the good. First. We have had, as Chris mentioned, we had Soons on the show.
Okay.
And we had Dirty Beaches, who was one time Montrealian.
Yeah.
Montrealer.
Yeah.
He is now in, where do you say, Brussels?
Berlin.
But you're the first French Canadians that we've had on the band.
Awesome. That's cool.
Although I do feel there's some members in Soons, but like not really? The one that we in.
I don't think so. But yeah, maybe. Not. Yeah, maybe.
But that said, so you guys obviously speak French fluently.
Yeah, well, it's our first language. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is kind of awkward. This is like your second language then.
Yeah, 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 totally.
You're making us look like shit, is what Derek's saying.
We might like get sloppy sometimes in English.
I'm trying to think of questions that you won't be able to answer that maybe I can like throw you. Let's think of like English words that might be hard to come up with. So no, but did Fat Possum like? Did they even come watch you? I know this is bad. I shouldn't be giving away Fat Possum's A&R trade secrets here, but...
We'll see guys in not this Friday, but the next one. We're playing this Brooklyn Vegan CMJ Showcase in Montreal.
Yeah, in Montreal. M for Montreal.
Yeah, for M for Montreal.
And our manager, met the guys
from... At CMJ, yeah.
Yeah, at CMJ, a few weeks ago.
See, for all those people out there that think that
The deck's stacked against them.
Well, no, the label showcase thing at CMJ is not like a industry thing. It actually did. That you're like living proof of that.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of. System works. We weren't even there.
Yeah. Never met him yet.
Yeah.
But no, that's really cool. I know Dana, I think you met Dana, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, a few seconds ago on the front desk.
But yeah, she's been touting you guys highly for a long time in the Impos offices. So
thank you, Dana.
I like to tell her that she's the reason. Even though it probably is not, but she doesn't have to hear that part.
She's going to listen to this later. That's fine.
But so I ask this with all the bands that come out here from Montreal, but how is the scene in Montreal like as good as it always was? Is it like decline? Like in Brooklyn, there's always this discussion of like, oh, right now it's at its peak, but it's like on the decline, whatever. But there seems to be obviously a lot of bands that continuously come out of Montreal. Is it like a community there that really supportive of the music and the arts?
Yeah, there's still plenty of like good bands around in Montreal.
We get that question often, but we don't really know.
Yeah,
to,
we've never like been really. I'm not really. We're not associated with like the indie pop like movement that we're in the early.
Who's the what? Early, Arcade Fire, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's been kind of the same.
Yeah, it's always been a good scene, way. Yeah,
right.
There's the good scene. Like people go to shows and stuff, but it's not like it's like.
Yeah, it wasn't bigger like before. It's not bigger right now. It's been the same. I don't know. Maybe the Arcade Fire thing got the.
Well, yeah. What's the Arcade Fire scene like? Because you seem to delineate that.
Well, it's the biggest the band scene. Supposedly from Montreal, even though they're not from Montreal. But that's another thing.
Yeah. So explain that. Like tease that out a little bit. Why? What do you mean they're not from Montreal?
Well, I think they all met at McGill University, and I think like Wynn Butler's from
Austin. I think.
Texas, and I think
he's too tall to be from Montreal. I think.
Yeah, Regine is from the south of Montreal, if I'm not mistaken, from Boucherville.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sounds so much better when you say it.
Boucherville.
I'd be like Bouchetteville.
Bruchetteville.
So they all met at McGill. So that seems like a little more of like a rarefied sort of. I don't want to use the phrase hoity-toity, but maybe a little polished scene. Maybe like a sort of.
I think it's very similar to what's happening.
We did get some kind of a wave of bands like nine piece of like orchestral indie pop, and I think it's just more of a hard time for sound guys and stuff because they all play like tiny venues, and most of the time there are like more people on stage that. There is in the
crowd. I think that's similar to what happened in Brooklyn, though. I mean, the indie pop scene was kind of more than just, you know, regional. And then same thing now. You have a lot of the, you know, a lot of the more raw rock bands, you know, kind of spawned a little bit from the garage scene. But I don't want to get too much into the 90s comparisons, but I'm sure you guys get those a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were born and raised in the 90s, so just like...
Born in the 80s.
Yeah, born in the 80s, raised in the 90s.
Yeah, that's, it totally makes sense. I, as the resident old man here, Every time we listen to something in the office, I'm like always calling back to like, that sounds like. And so you're a two piece, I guess it would be like Hum or something like that, right?
Yeah,
well, Hum is a good one.
Yeah, no, I know, and they're Canadian, right?
Are they?
Seriously?
I think Hum was Canadian. I don't know. We'll have to get our producer on that. Joe, you want to fact check? Was Hum Canadian? I don't know if he has a microphone.
They were from Champaign, Illinois.
Oh.
Not that far.
It's cold in there, though, so Champaign, Illinois is almost like Canada. Well, I was saying before we started that I was kind of hoping you guys were from Toronto, and it's not because of anything regional or anything like that. I was just hoping you could discuss the crack-smoking mayor.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We had a lot of problems with our mayor, too, so I don't know.
What's wrong with your... Wait, mayor is the one who hates cyclists, right?
No, that's Rob Ford, actually.
That's the same Rob? Yeah. It's the same other mayor?
Same guy.
Shit, sorry.
Man, smoking crack and hating on bicyclists.
Yeah, our mayor was corrupted.
Yeah. We got, like, our fair share of problems with corruption in Montreal, and we still do, I think, so, because we just elected pretty much the same team. Like,
But he doesn't smoke crack. He may maybe sell some, but
that's a plus. He doesn't smoke crack.
He's probably selling Rob Ford some crack. I don't know.
So what is it? I mean, obviously it's an anomaly to have... Well, everyone was sort of like, you know, how could a mayor do this? How could a mayor smoke crack on video? And then... But the mayor of Washington, D.C., Marion Barry, did this back in 1990.
Yeah.
And he got reelected after the crack.
I think, like, Rob Ford's is just a little less subtle about that. I mean, you see pictures of the guy, and you're like, no, this guy is not, like...
Canadian politics gets sort of painted as being a little more polite and less... There's less sharp elbows, there's less money involved, it's less of a... But I mean, really, I mean, is there... How much of a fundamental difference is there between, like, the really ins and outs of Canadian politics versus, like, American politics? Just in your eyes?
I don't know.
We don't
It's just as corrupt is what Chris is getting at, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I genuinely, honestly don't know. Yeah. I mean, so your mayor was stealing stuff from the city, or what was he doing?
There's this huge, like, commission going down in Montreal, in Quebec right now, like, and everybody's going down, like, the syndicates, the Liberal Party and the Province Party too, so everyone's kind of going down right now. So it's.
But are they ever going to take away your free healthcare? Do you think?
No, I don't think so.
See?
I don't think so.
And we just get into so many arguments about that one topic.
Healthcare? Yeah, right. We can't even get
past that.
Yeah. So what's your thought on the free, like the Obamacare system?
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan. You know, although I don't really have either, so right now
it's like
I'm gonna be one of those people that gets fined for not having health insurance.
It's a good thing, but it's one of those things where it's like, if we just would have taken the extra step to just make it a government-run program entirely, it would have been easier, because now there's all these weird complications and people are complaining about the complications, but they only put those complications there so that they could get around the fact that they needed to sort of make it government-run in the first place. So it's really stupid that we have to keep.
Do you think it's gonna be like taken down or
no? But I mean, he'll have to make changes to it,
and there's gonna be so much headbutting about it over,
but give it 15 years, 20 years, it's gonna be the same system Canada has, would be my guess.
Me too. I think really what it's about is pulling people away from the employer-based model, where like you have to have a job to get health insurance, which is in philosophy is not, or in theory is not a bad idea, but it really is like, you shouldn't have to worry about those things if you get laid off. And eventually, I think people will get that in their consciousness, and it will just kind of become natural, like a government.
But we still have, like, in Quebec and Canada, at least, in Canada in general, we still have, I have to pay for, like, glasses and dental care and stuff. So it's not like, but, like, for health.
But it's always, like, fucked up to see, like, people being against this. Like, that's the feedback we get from, like, the United States. And we're like, why is anyone against this?
Why would you be against
this? That's the primary question about it. Yeah. That's like, you know, when you see, like, what the, you know, even the Republicans that are kind of, like, lauding the fact that the Obama, the website isn't working, you know. It's just like, so let me get this straight. You're happy that there are people who are trying to get health care but can't get it.
Yeah.
Just like, when you think about it philosophically, it's like, versus just like, you were right, I'm wrong, you know.
And that's what makes me think, like, our system's so much more fucked up than Canada's, but at the same time, you know, we don't have Rob Ford, so.
What blows my mind about that is, like, okay, I'm not going to judge anyone for doing drugs. I mean, as a public, you know, political person, like, obviously, like, you don't want to be seen doing that on the job. But crack, I mean, that's like an old school drug right there. That's like, he's not even pulling it. I mean, he's a mayor. He could afford, like, coke, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what we know. I mean, imagine what, like, all the stuff that we don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's, if you're smoking crack, there's other things going on.
Yeah.
That's because that's like,
you know, it's at the same time, it's like JFK sleeping with interns, like teenagers, like at the White House and stuff. All that stuff happened, you know. No one's,
but it's crack. No one's above that's different. It crack. I mean, it's
crack like, cocaine, man.
Sleeping with a girl, regardless. Ooh, excuse me, I'm burping on the Runa Clean Energy Zero drink I'm drinking here. But like, that's not, I mean, depending on the age, obviously, but like, that's not an illegal substance, A, and it's not warping his mind, you know?
Having sex with your teenage interns in the White House is warping your mind? I don't know. I mean, that's right. I'm just sort of pointing out the circle comes around, you know? Yeah. The snake eats itself all the way around. I don't know what that means.
It's called full circle.
Were you guys born and raised in Montreal?
Yep. Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much.
Why did you guys decide to stay there? Or are you going to stay there?
Actually, yeah, I went back. I was born there and was there like all my childhood, like till 9. And then my parents moved in the more countryside, and I went back for university. But I don't know. I really like the Montreal vibe, like compared to like
Toronto.
Yeah, well, even like Quebec City or something. It's just like more lively.
There's just an impulse here in the States to like leave your hometown as quick as possible. You know.
Really?
Like, to go to, like, the big center, you mean?
Yeah, well, just, or, you know, people just sort of, when they grow up and they go to high school and they stay in one place for a really long time, they find it, like, passé. They feel like they need to, like, go elsewhere to sort of make a name for
that's
themselves.
That's a French word, right? Passé?
Passé,
oui. Yeah.
Passé.
But that's not, you guys don't feel that way? You're not like, I've been in this town for, I wasn't
in Montreal, like, during my high school and stuff. So, yeah, I felt the need of leaving that town to go back to Montreal, but
what about you, Louis? You don't feel like you need to
I don't know. I lived in the suburbs like for I guess like 10 years because I moved my parents moved out of the city when I was 12, so I actually needed to get back to Montreal because I don't know, everything's happening there, so I was just like
you're talking about Arcade Fire not being from Montreal. You guys really aren't from Montreal.
Well,
we were born there.
Interview's
over.
Back.
Interview over.
But well, no, that's I was in the same boat. I grew up in the suburbs, then I was originally from Buffalo, moved to Buffalo, and then even though I wasn't from there, it felt like a big move. So I understand what you're talking about, even if our country friend here from Virginia doesn't understand.
It's like, I met someone who was like, when I first met them, they were like, oh yeah, I'm from New York, you know, born and raised. And then later on, I come to find out they're from Westchester. And that is just not the same thing as being in New York City and saying, I'm from New York, right? That's just wrong.
That is true. It is true. Although, if you go like anywhere outside of like the Northeast and Midwest and say you're from New York, everyone assumes that New York is New York City.
New York City, yeah.
I remember the first time I went to Arizona, I told someone I was from New York, or I got ID'd for something, you know, I was like buying cigarettes or weed or weed.
Here's my ID.
Freudian. alcohol. And I gave him my ID and the person was like, oh, you're from New York. I couldn't tell because you didn't say fuck. That's what they said. So they assume everyone swears and is from New York City.
Well, that's fucked up.
And it's Arizona too, but probably the most fucked up. You know what I'd like to? We're gonna take a short little break.
This is it.
I wanted to ask one more question before we. The thing that I think is most exciting about being from Montreal, not most exciting, but that you guys can go to France, and understand everything they say, whereas like we can only go to like England.
You know, we could do that too if we learned the language.
Well, I'm just saying naturally.
Yeah, that's kind of
it's not like everyone born in Montreal.
I mean, we did learn English.
We can go to New York City. We can go to Austin. And
All right, well, let's hear his question. That wasn't even the question.
No, I was actually just going to say I didn't really have a follow-up question. I was just saying how I really like France, you know? Right. So, have you guys been there?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. It's like you guys just like blend right in, right?
Yeah. No, but actually,
I travel a lot, like, before going to France, so I don't know.
They can tell the difference, though, right?
Yeah, totally. And if I don't, like, force myself to speak like them, they won't understand a thing.
Oh, so it's...
Yeah,
it's
not the French-Canadian and the French from France.
Right. Do they look down on that? Is that, like, something they...
No, I think they find it, like, maybe, I don't know, like...
cute?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of, like... They might be condescending sometimes about it.
It's yeah.
Like,
oh,
French people so, condescending? Oh,
yeah. Well, that's like, you know, the people in the deep south when they have those like thick accents and it's like, you know, they're speaking English. Also, like,
French people like get in Montreal and they want to do like slay, like dog slay. And
yeah, they think like, we're still living with like natives, like there was still like hunting and we're all lumberjacks and shit.
Yeah. And they want to do like skidoo and stuff like that.
Although... That's not too far off. If you keep going north, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know.
But no, the city of Montreal.
Yeah.
We are advocates of it. It's a very modern city for everyone listening.
That's right. There's electricity and everything.
Man.
Yeah.
We got internet like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was life-changing, actually.
And that's all you guys got signed.
Yeah.
They put up their record.
It's the first email I sent to Fat Possum Records.
Well, we're going to play the single that, as you mentioned, the whole record. What is the name of the record? Because I just moved past it.
That's Blame Confusion.
Blind Confusion.
Blame Confusion.
Blame.
Yes.
Like B-L-A-M-E.
Yeah. It would have been Blame Confusion.
Bling Confusion.
Bling?
Bling.
Yeah. Bling. I kind of like that.
I know. Mm. I'm having trouble on it. But as you mentioned, it was put up online. You guys had it streaming. And then you got signed to Fat Possum. So now this is the... I'm telling all this to say this is the single. Although if you were on the internet a month ago, you probably heard the other songs.
Yeah.
But totally. This is Traces. This just came out earlier this week via Fat Possum. And we'll be back in a few minutes. 3 minutes exactly. With solids.
Chagas, for the past 10 years, Heritage Foods USA has had the great honor of announcing the arrival of a new generation of Good Shepherd Ranch heritage turkeys and a new chapter in the history of an endangered species. You have to eat them to save them. While many farmers now use the term, Frank Reese and his team raised the truest example of the original heritage turkey. According to the USDA, they remain the only farm allowed to use the name Heritage on their label. We hope you reserve your healthy, naturally mating, flying, standard bronze, bourbon red, white Holland, slate, black, or Narragansett turkey today. Let's do it again and support the brightest hope for the turkey. We guarantee these are the best tasting turkeys ever, or your money back. Prices start at $75. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
No gobble.
Yeah,
noise
there was
there.
No gobble.
these are different turkeys though. They're high class turkeys.
These are naturally mating turkeys. Is the thing that stuck out to me.
Bourbon stuck out to me. I don't know where that got thrown in there, but there's something to do with bourbon.
I guess they get all liquored up and fucked.
Yeah,
that's, before they naturally mate, they have a little.
They
smoke
a little,
tip a little
crack with Rob Ford. drink a little Wild Turkey 101 and get it on.
We were talking about, this is totally random, but we were just talking about, because aren't turkeys like really stupid? Aren't they like supposed to be like the stupidest animals or one
no,
of the stupidest animals?
Actually, they're pretty smart. And Ben Franklin wanted to make the national bird a turkey. And people were like, no.
No.
So like, instead of a bald eagle, it would be a turkey?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, actually, Joe, could you fact check that for me? I'm 99% sure that's
true.
No,
I think you are right.
I think they're quite clever birds. That's why they're so difficult to hunt.
So you guys have Boxing Day, right? When is
no,
that?
No, no, you guys have Canadian Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, which was like a month ago.
Yeah, right. So explain that, because when that happened, I didn't know what the.
I don't know. It's not really.
I never really celebrated it. Yeah, it's just like. A three-day weekend for us. Well,
yeah.
For me.
I think it's more of a Anglo-Canadian kind of thing, okay. I guess.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
So, but what does it celebrate? Does it celebrate, like ours is supposed to be like, oh, the pilgrims came here, and then they had a feast that saved them through the winter, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea, honestly.
We just take the holiday, and we're like, let's drink.
Is it about
Monday
eating?
Off.
Like, do you guys do, like, a giant feast, like...
Yeah. Well, not even.
Yeah, well, I usually like go to like this
sushi
like,
or something.
I hate turkey this week. I've been eating turkey for like 3 years. Well, not I haven't been eating
exclusively. I've only been eating turkey exclusively for 3 years.
He's on the turkey cleanse right now. Just eats turkey.
We should talk to Heritage.
Yeah, naturally fed and everything.
We should talk to Heritage. They should use your voiceover. For
Can I read a quote about what Ben Franklin said about turkeys?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Turkey. He is, besides, though a little vain and silly, a bird of courage, and would not hesitate to attack the British guards who should presume to invade his farmyard with a red coat on. So that's why.
Damn.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's because they're stupid.
I don't think clearly they knew they were on the right side of liberty if they were trying to attack the British.
Well, there's that theory. There's that theory that like they would drown if in a rainstorm because they would look up and like that's the urban
what
myth
theory.
It's an urban myth.
That sounds kind of silly.
I just googled.
What do you mean? Why would looking up make them drown?
I don't know. They Explain get water that. Into their gullet or something like that. I just googled are turkeys stupid, and the first thing that comes up is will a turkey really drown if it looks up during a rainstorm? Animal Planet.
And the answer
is it's a myth. No, I know it's a myth. All right. But I'm just saying that it has to be. Started during the thought that, like, you know, they're stupid.
I don't know. Ben Franklin thought they were smart, and Ben Franklin
he didn't
was
say smart.
Smart.
He said brave, which means they were probably stupid enough to just go after whatever was going to kill them anyway.
Hmm. All right. So, would you rather have a turkey in a fight, or would you rather have like a pheasant or something?
A turkey.
All right.
Yeah.
Then. All right.
I would have gone with the pheasant.
Yeah. Now I'm getting hungry. Turkey.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin also describes bald eagles as a bird with bad moral character, which I don't know what that means, really. But
have you ever seen a bald eagle, Joe?
I have, from a distance.
they're pretty cool.
They are cool.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch. And they make kind of a really not... kind of a prissy noise.
I wonder what the bad moral character of a
what
of
could
a
it be?
Bald
the
eagle.
Smoke cracking animals. Yeah. I don't know.
It is the smoke, the crack smoking bird of the, or it's just having lots of sex, which is probably what I'm get, I think Ben
corrupt.
Was getting at.
It's a corrupt bird.
Yeah.
So you guys are playing tonight at St. Vitus.
Yep.
And this is a small tour for you guys. You guys started in Montreal.
No, actually, we started in
Boston. Well, Boston, Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On Monday, and we're back in Montreal on Saturday.
So you go. You said the southernmost you go is Baltimore.
Yeah. Yep.
So are you gonna make it down to Oxford at any point in time to meet up?
Yeah, we're supposed to go there in March. I think.
Yeah,
right.
After oh, on the way. To, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Oxford is a great city.
Yeah, I can't wait. I didn't even know about Oxford. So.
Yeah,
and that's why people think New York is just New York City.
Yeah,
I'm not passing judgment.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. If you ask me, the first question I ask most of the bands that come on here from Canada, I'm like, okay, you guys got all these cities on the East Coast, and you got all these cities on the West Coast, but what's in the middle?
Yeah,
there's not much there, right?
In Canada?
Yeah,
no.
Well, Alberta, right?
Yeah. And there's Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
There's Calgary.
Regina?
That's come up a couple times, right?
Regina, yeah, it has come up.
Saskatoon?
Nothing could be finer than to
Calgary,
be in Regina.
Calgary's got an amazing scene, actually.
Yeah,
Sled Island.
Yeah, they had that festival. Did you guys, were you guys supposed to play? I know it got rained out.
Well, we weren't even supposed to play. We were supposed to play, like, hopefully next year.
Yeah.
So have you guys toured much? Like, is this...
We did a couple of weekends, but we never did, like, and it's like, actually, like...
I think the longest we've been on tour
we
was
went
like
to Florida.
10 days.
Yeah.
We went
That's still a tour. That's a tour.
Yeah. I think it's okay. But, I mean, we look forward to
We look forward to doing like a month-long tour.
Yeah, this is really... I don't want to say it's blowing my mind, but this is like... It's so funny because it's really internet culture-based in one sense. But in the other sense, it's almost like old school in the sense that like you kind of were picked up without, you know... Like a lot of there's a ton
without
of bands.
A giant PR machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm very. It makes me hopeful for the future. That people will sign bands based on their music, not on the PR machine that's behind them.
Well, that's cool for us. I mean, we've been doing this like DIY thing for like a couple of years and
4 years. I think.
Yeah, 4 years. And when we just like decided to take Blame Confusion out ourselves, that was just
actually
normal,
it's
yeah.
like it was like our first LP. I think that's. I don't know why, but people don't really think like EPs and like 7 inches are a real thing, but they are, and they just kind of consider you when you have a, like an LP.
And I think a lot of it too is, well, from a label perspective, obviously it's easier to get behind a full album, but also like I think a lot of the internet culture is thinking like it's a single, I just hit play on the stream, you know, versus like an actual album.
Yeah,
you think
about
like consuming it sort of in a weird way. There was something I was going to say after that. Oh, do you guys do... This is we'll wrap up with this kind of question, but have you guys taken part in any, like, grants or anything like that from the government?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
See?
Government helps a lot in Canada and Quebec.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing.
Did you guys... So did that help with the recording process? Is that
No. We did all, like, by ourselves. It's more like when it's touring.
Tour,
related.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, all the bands that we've had from Montreal.
But we can, like, there's, like, Factor and this thing. You can get, like, a huge grants, like, for recording and
right.
stuff. But because we didn't have, like, a first LP before, like, the one that just came out. And, like, it was difficult, but I think for the next one we're going to be eligible.
Yeah. Cultural-wise, we got a lot of grants in Canada in general, I think.
Yeah, but it
helps a lot.
Slowly, like,
yeah,
they're all
slowly
taken down by Mr. Harper.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You can't vote conservative. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They hate the arts.
Wait, can I ask you guys a really VH1 question? how do you guys write your songs, generally? Like, how does a song become birthed into the world?
We just jam for a bit. And
we get
usually
high,
we
jam.
We
that's
came
the
up
best
with,
way to write songs.
We come up with one riff and then like some kind of vocal melody and just
jam.
Write lyrics and
that like the
but it's usually like a riff, the starting point.
And that happens in one sitting or over multiple sittings, or you'll just like
depends,
when you rehearse,
yeah.
or is it more of like
usually
we're gonna try and write some songs.
Usually
today.
The core of the song is written like
in a jam.
Yeah, in a jam.
Yeah, we have like a couple of riffs that we know works together, and
Yeah, and hopefully the next jam we still think it's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And hopefully we remember,
remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys don't take, you guys don't record your practice.
Yeah, now yeah. When we have something good, we're like, okay, we have to record this before we forget it.
Yeah.
How many songs do you think have like slipped through the cracks?
Oh, at least I'd say like at least 20.
Wow. 20?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Really?
Do you guys, oh, here's a good question. And I'm saying this as someone who has never seen you live. I mean, yeah. I've listened to your record, but I was surprised you were a two piece. Not because I can't imagine it being done, but the fact that you guys are so loud and it's so like, you know, full. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you guys both sing?
Yep.
That's kind of awesome. And which one plays drums?
I do.
This guy.
So you sing while you play drums.
Yeah.
Are you a big Phil Collins fan?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
See, all
it's not
drummers,
even a joke.
I know. All drummers love Phil Collins.
He's like in my top five whatever artists.
Is that because it's so hard to drum and sing at the same time?
No, not really. I don't find it hard.
I just love
Collins. Doing the most thing I can do at the same time.
You play do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do for any drummer.
There's so many better songs.
One day you're going to get there.
But wait.
One day you're going to get, like, this kind of headset.
What about...
Oh, yeah, you need, like, a Bluetooth thing there. Yeah. You need, like, a Bluetooth mic.
Well, the thing is, I moan while I'm, like, playing and not singing, so I'd be like... Yeah.
What, and then, well, then you guys also have Neil Peart, right? Is he up there, too, or no?
I'm not really Neil Peart fan. No, we're not Rush fan.
I never liked Rush very much.
Yeah, I actually ate that.
I was a fan of Rush when I went through my very, like, when I was very into, like, technical stuff. So, like, the same time I was liking jazz, I liked Rush, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of vibe.
That's weird.
I've seen him a few times. I'm like, you know, it's all right.
In conclusion, Derek's not cool.
I'm like a girl's record collection. No Rush. It's funny. It's weird. It's just, I don't know. It's, I don't know. People, the drummers, they like Phil Collins.
Oh, he's cool.
Yeah.
I never met him, though, but he looks cool.
This is a call out to Phil Collins if you're out there.
If you want to go out, take coffee, I'll go to Switzerland and hang out.
Well, guys, Xavier, Louis, thank you so much for joining us.
I want to say
Xavier's last name is, well, to me it's Germain or Germain, but how did you say it?
Germain.
Man.
It's actually Germain Poitras.
And you don't say Xavier?
I say Xavier. Xavier, like the X sound, but just Xavier.
Xavier, okay.
Because ER makes the A sound. Yeah.
All right, so...
Now you know.
And Louis is just Louis, right?
That's Louis Guillemette.
So, well, I was going to just go with the first name, but now you guys thrown in too many syllables and names, so we'll leave it at there. Xavier and Louis, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks to you guys.
No, thank you so much for coming by, and we look forward to seeing you in Texas, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, take care, everyone.
Good
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.